Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Suzanne Banker Show. So I was listening to an episode of The Art of Manliness recently, which is a great podcast if you haven't heard of it, called The Case for Minding Your Own Business. And I'd like to start by reading the description of this episode as it was being introduced by Brett McKay, who's the host of that podcast. Attend the graduation of a college senior, and the commencement speech is likely to include a few themes. Do something big. Make a name for yourself. Change the world. My guest is not a fan of this advice, and he says that rather than focusing on solving large-scale problems, we ought to concentrate on making things better in our own backyards. Brandon Warmke is a professor of philosophy and the co-author of Why It's Okay to Mind Your Own Business. Today on the show, Brandon explains why what he calls commencement speech morality, where commencement speakers insist that graduates go out in the world and disrupt the status quo or view every problem in the world as something awaiting their solutions, distorts our moral vision by emphasizing one version of the good and valuable life at the expense of the value of a life marked by ordinary morality. He then makes a case for the benefits of putting down roots, creating a good home, and for how a smaller, quieter life can still be generous, important, and noble. And so, needless to say, I listened very intently to that episode. I highly recommend it if you want to check it out. And I was drawn to it because the author's message, this Brandon Warmke, is so similar to mine, or at least that aspect of it is. In my upcoming book, How to Build a Better Life, A New Roadmap for Women Who Want to Prioritize Love and Family, which I spoke about at length last week, I actually describe an example of this commencement speech morality to which Warmke refers. I'm going to come back to that in just a bit. Warmke refers to ordinary people who are doing big things in a smaller way, maintainers. That's the label he's given them. Their work doesn't typically make headlines, of course, but it is just as valuable, if not more so, than those whose lives may appear bigger, but are no more meaningful. And I think any reasonable person would agree, for example, that the mother at home, who's sacrificing her own desires to meet the needs of her children and to create a strong and healthy family, is doing more good in the world than so many of the Hollywood names we revere in this country and love to look up to and emulate. But of course, you have to be someone who's not enamored with fame and fortune to be able to really believe that small acts are just as big, if not bigger, than large ones. You have to really know in your bones that you don't need to have a big life to have a valuable life. Unfortunately, this is super hard to accept in the world of social media, where young people in particular, in addition to hearing the commencement speech narrative, are walloped with images and messaging that tells them they're missing out if they're not living big lives. But if you're able to reject cultural messaging and stay focused, you can become someone who's rooted, to use Warmke's word, which means to see and to live the value of an ordinary life. So to bring this all back to my work and my message, I was recently asked what I would tell a young woman who wants to be a doctor or a lawyer or even president. And when I answered that I would warn her of the trade-offs she would incur with those choices if she also wants to get married and have a family, and then described some of the advantages of thinking smaller or closer to home, I was accused of crushing dreams or of not encouraging young women to think big. But the truth is that I'm very supportive of anyone's dreams. I just throw in a healthy dose of reality and practicality so that my answer actually helps people map out a life that works rather than just makes them feel good in the moment. That's what so many people get is something that makes them feel good in the moment, but does absolutely nothing for their long-term happiness because they lack the courage to provide the other side of that equation. I don't want to crush people's dreams, but I do want to help them avoid nightmares, which I see up close every week in coaching. The commencement speaker morality pressures graduates to change the world or to do big things, often too big, without acknowledging the trade-offs that will need to be made, and makes the assumption as well that a quieter life is somehow a lesser life, which is simply not true. Look, there are millions of unhappy homes in this country, and certainly that's been the case forever, I'm sure, but we know now that today it's exploded. Families and relationships are broken. The mental health crisis is at an all-time high. People have never been so stressed out and so miserable. By my calculations, then, if you were to do nothing else with your life but create a calm home where healthy family relationships thrived, you will have done all you need to do to contribute to making this world a better place. It may feel like a lesser life when you scroll through social media to have a smaller life, that is, but that doesn't mean it is a lesser life. On the contrary, if you do the work and experience the results, you'll never feel richer. Nothing I've ever accomplished educationally or professionally holds a candle to what I've built on the home front. And I know my husband feels the same way. If you're someone who places less value on money and status and fame and more on family and relationships, if you think like a rooted person, thinking smaller makes perfect sense. Raising children makes sense. Helping to build your community makes sense. Volunteering makes sense. None of these things will make headlines, but they are invaluable. They are the things that make life meaningful. So now to the commencement address I mentioned in my upcoming book, How to Build a Better Life. In 2011, former Facebook, or I guess it's Meta now, COO Sheryl Sandberg, who's no longer there, delivered the address at Barnard College, an all-girls school. And during her speech, she offered the graduates the typical commencement speech narrative, that there's an amazing world out there just waiting for women to make their mark. She told the women they should stop at nothing to achieve their dreams. She then chimed in with her larger message regarding social change. She assured the graduates that women have a long way to go to achieve equality, of course, and told them to lean in to their jobs until the last possible moment. Do not leave before you leave, she said. Do not lean back, lean in. Put your foot on that gas pedal and keep it there until the day you have to make a decision, unquote. That decision being, of course, whether or not to leave the workforce to take care of your baby. This is horrible advice. Horrible. Because planning ahead for stepping out of the workforce for a season is, in fact, the key to a woman being successful in life, if we define success differently than the way we do today. Being successful in a career is not the only way to be successful in life, obviously. Making a lot of money is also not the only way to be successful. Building a successful life and a successful family will always trump material success. How we personally define success speaks to what we value. Since I value my relationships at home more than anything else, to me, the health of my marriage and children define success. In other words, I could make millions from my work, which I don't, FYI, or I could be all over every news outlet in the country, and it would mean nothing to me if my marriage wasn't healthy and strong, or if I didn't have a close and intimate relationship with my children. To me, that's not success. That's failure. And I know this is what so many women today are struggling with. They're torn between work and family because for years they've been groomed to become workhorses and to build a life with career at the center. Never do they get any guidance or advice about how to be successful in their personal lives. These commencement speeches make no mention whatsoever of what these young women's futures will actually look like down the line. No talk of husbands or children, no talk of how their priorities will change, no talk of anything but their bombastic future careers. Going back to Sheryl Sandberg, in a separate TED conference around the same time as her commencement address, she admitted to feeling guilty being away from her children most of their waking hours. Quote, "I feel guilty working because of my kids. I do. I feel guilty." End quote. At one point, she glossed over what it's like to have her toddler pulling on his mother's leg, begging her not to go to work, as if that's something a mother should just get over. That tugging is the perfect metaphor for the greater tug women feel between their independent selves and their nurturing selves. Very few women are immune to it. And rather than address this conflict head on and in a way that's helpful, women like Sandberg encourage women to ignore their maternal instincts and to reject their children's needs in favor of the all-important career. Or in her case, in favor of fighting for so-called gender equality. Again, a massively huge goal when compared to doing something on a smaller scale. I'm encouraging women to do the opposite. It is extremely difficult to live in a culture that pressures women, or men for that matter, to change the world. So many women just want to live calm, simple, family-focused lives. Their ability to achieve this today, due to an economy we've created, in large part because this decades-long messaging about women needing to be in the workforce rather than at home, is getting harder and harder. We created this new world. But wanting a regular old life or even a regular old job as opposed to a career, which is typically all-consuming, does not constitute a lesser life. David Brooks said it really well in 2019 in an article called Five Lies the Culture Tells. The very first lie on his list is career success is fulfilling. Quote, "This is the lie we foist on the young. In their tender years, we put the most privileged of them inside a college admissions process that puts achievement and status anxiety at the center of their lives. That begins advertising's lifelong mantra. If you make it, life will be good." But everybody who has actually tasted success can tell you that's not true. I remember when the editor of my first book called to tell me it had made the bestseller list. It felt like nothing. It was external to me. The truth is, success spares you from the shame you might experience if you feel yourself a failure. But career success alone does not provide peace or fulfillment. And this is my favorite part that he wrote. If you build your life around it, your ambitions will always race out in front of what you've achieved, leaving you anxious and dissatisfied. End quote. That career success alone can't provide the peace or fulfillment women have been groomed to believe that it can, and the reality that whom you marry and how that marriage fares will dictate your future happiness and well-being, is the underlying message of my new book, How to Build a Better Life, a new roadmap for women who want to prioritize love and family. The book implodes the narrative that women should prioritize career above all else and provides a new path forward for those who want to focus on family and to strengthen their relationships at home. If you want to read the first 20 pages of this book for free, just go to howtobuildabetterlifebook.com. This will allow you to become a subscriber as well, which is the best way to keep up with the interviews and the general goings-on related to the book in the upcoming weeks and months. Finally, as a quick reminder, you can join the Suzanne Venker Show private Facebook page to keep up, as well as subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is simply @SuzanneVenker, author.